Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we're going to talk about parenting styles a little bit.
Again.
It's not a topic that is new to us in any way. We talked about parenting styles before, but what I think is interesting about this, because this is from the Daily Mail, and it was just published last month in October 26th this year, it introduces a new type of parenting style that we haven't heard before. And we thought we would talk about it a little bit. But just as we were getting ready to start recording, you know, we were talking about how challenging it is that we keep having these new parenting styles emerging, and it's getting somewhat overwhelming. I mean, helicopter parenting, that makes sense, because of the hovering. But we have a couple of new ones in this article that we had not heard of before.
Correct.
And so we thought we'd talk about it.
Right. Because the standard four, and parents are always wondering, how strict should I be?
Right.
How structured should our house be? Mm-hmm. How much decision making? Right. And there are parents who are truly afraid to give their children any decision making because they're so terrified that they're going to make the wrong decision and get into trouble. So much of our parenting is based on fear of what might happen rather than what is best for children and for parents. Right. So we're not just talking about what's good for kids, because if you get this right, parenting is a lot easier.
Right.
Okay. And so the four parenting styles traditionally that we teach in universities and we teach in child development, there are four. Two of them are pretty similar. Permissive parenting, which you let the child do everything. Obviously, that's not going to work. And neglectful parenting.
Those are similar.
And they're similar. And it's too much freedom, too much decision making. Mm-hmm. But the other two are worth discussing.
Right.
They're authoritarian and authoritative.
Right. And again, these are two of the more traditional types of parenting. There's a sound from the computer there for you. There's two that are part of those traditional four. The authoritarian, those are the parents I always refer to them as the because I said so parents. Authoritarian parents are the ones that are much more controlling, give the child very little decision making. It's sort of the, I guess you could almost say the opposite of permissive parenting.
That's right. It's at the other extreme.
Right. They're over controlling, over dominating.
Right.
And it leads to problems.
And the way I tell my students to remember is think of an authoritarian dictator.
Right.
Okay. Who it will be done this way. Okay. Right. And that's what the authoritarian parent does. It's we're going to do things my way, period. And we're going to do all things my way.
Right.
That's not a good way to raise children, especially teenagers, because you're going to get into these, you're going to begin to butt heads, you're going to get into power struggles, because we need to give, as we talked about in a previous podcast, we need to listen to our teenagers, we need to listen to their perspectives. And authoritarian parents tend to discount what kids are saying. It's flawed, you're wrong, you don't have enough experience, you don't have enough knowledge, is what the kids are hearing.
You don't know what I'm going through.
Right. I know what it is because I was a teenager too.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't allow the child to make his or her own decisions.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to have a voice or a perspective or an opinion.
Right. Now, authoritative parenting has traditionally been considered the gold standard of parenting. You know, that's the Goldilocks parenting. Yes, so you're giving the child some decision making, but you're also maintaining clear and consistent boundaries and expectations, and you're finding the balance between these two things. And it really fosters a healthy parent-child relationship. It fosters you know, healthy development in the child. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of good things that come from authoritative parenting.
That's right. You have expectations, whether they're...
It's all about education.
Right. Athletic or academic or whatever it is. So you set high expectations, mm-hmm. high but reasonable expectations. And you give the child the support they need to meet those expectations. Yes. And there are boundaries and limits and mm-hmm. consequences for misdeeds, okay, but they are reasonably applied mm-hmm. And not bludgeoned. The children are bludgeoned. They're reasonably applied, and typically parents using an authoritative approach tend to rely more on collaborative problem solving rather than imposed solutions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, then we get into the three newer ones. Now, we know helicopter parenting. We've talked about helicopter parenting a number of times. And so this is the hovering parent.
But, you know, I did a talk last week at mm-hmm. a middle school. Mm-hmm. And the parents were a little bit confused about helicopter. I was surprised. They're a little bit confused about helicopter parenting. And they said, am I being a helicopter parent if I do this? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. how much is mm-hmm. to... When do I know I'm being a helicopter parent? And I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah.
And so the short answer is the helicopter parent is always making sure that the child succeeds.
Right.
Whatever problem you have, mm-hmm. I am there to take care of it for you. Right. I will be around. I'll anticipate some problems, mm-hmm. but I will solve all the other problems. So if you have a problem with a teacher, I'm aware of it, mm-hmm. and I will come to your assistance.
Right.
It's not helping your children with homework. Right. It's not helping them complete an assignment. That's not helicopter parenting.
Right.
Helicopter parenting is being too close and rescuing your children to make sure that they always succeed.
Right.
The goal is success in every way, every time.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll take care of things that you aren't ready to take care of.
Right. So the analogy is hovering over, looking mm-hmm. at the path ahead so that you can make sure that the child is on a path to success all the time, at all times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two in this article that we had not heard of before.
Right.
And one is called lawnmower parenting.
And I love this one. I like the whole idea here, lawnmower parenting.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a newer one.
Right.
And this is... It's, again, not too dissimilar from some of the things we're talking about, helicopter parenting, because the idea is the parent sort of, for lack of a better word, mows the track in front of the child.
They clear the path.
Yeah.
Okay. They remove all the obstacles, all the potential, mm-hmm. possible, likely obstacles that could get in the way of this child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they clear the path. They mm-hmm. mow it down so that the child has clear sailing without obstacles.
Right. Right.
Bad.
Yeah. And the slight variation here, and again, we're splitting hairs a little bit. The slight variation here is what helicopter parents do. Helicopter parents are often reactive.
That's right.
So, you know, if their child mm-hmm. fails a test, the helicopter parent is calling the teacher and is doing, you know, accusing the teacher and doing those kinds of things.
Right.
The lawnmower parent sort of makes sure that there's absolutely no way the child is going to fail the test.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that slight proactive versus reactive.
That's right. And I think that's the big difference is the helicopter parents are reacting to mm-hmm. missteps. The lawnmower parents are doing away with mm-hmm. the possibility of a misstep or a mistake.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the final one is, I'm still wrapping my head around.
It's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new name.
Right.
And it's sort of a new concept, and it's not well defined yet.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. We're still kind of struggling with what exactly.
Yeah, they even say that more research is needed in this area. But this is called intentional or gentle parenting.
Right.
And the idea, it's not too dissimilar from authoritative parenting.
Right.
Very
That's
similar.
That's the closest comparison.
Right, right. But it's it's much more. It really emphasizes the sort of the collaborative model between the parent and the child, working with the child to, you know, for experiences and expectations.
Right. The only problem, sticking point that I had with this intentional parenting is that they said that sometimes authoritative parents.
Mm-hmm.
Will be too punitive, I think is the word that he used.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, I think, is a very subtle distinction because you still have to have some sort of consequences.
Right.
You have to have some sort of, what do I do if my child does? I mean, the intent here with intentional parenting is to prevent problems.
Right.
But you're going to inevitably have disagreements.
Right.
Your child may decide to act independently and in a way that you don't approve of. What do you do then? And that's not clearly defined here in intentional parenting.
Right. Yeah, there's still a lot more work to do there.
Right.
You know,
but I love the idea.
The idea is nice. But so what we're still kind of on the authoritative track.
Right.
Consistently has been demonstrated to be the parenting style with the best outcome for the kids because it allows the child opportunities to struggle and fail and learn from mistakes and, you know, work through problems with somebody who knows how to work through problems. So there's much more research in that area. And so we have to wait to see what happens with this.
And one of the things we talk about in our talks on child development, especially adolescent development, is that by the time a child walks out of your house at 17 or 18 or 19, they should be able to handle their lives, whether they're in college or working. I mean, if somebody goes to work at 18, let's say that you go to work in a restaurant or something, you should be able to really be independent of your parents. I mean, you might go to them for advice, but you should be able to handle money and you should be able to sign documents and you should have some sense of, I can take care of my own problems. I think that's what parents have to be careful of, is that they don't deny their children the opportunity to learn how to solve those problems. And kids learn to solve those problems by making mistakes along the way, by encountering problems and making mistakes, failing, disappointments, kids who get bullied. You know, we have to help our children work through those things because they're always going to encounter people who want to control them.
Right.
Okay.
One of the mistakes I'm going to learn from is not to set reminders on my computer that might go off during the time that we're recording the podcast.
Because your phone and your computer are synchronized.
Yeah. So
is that what those are?
That's what those are.
People trying to get in touch with you?
No, they're just reminders for me to remember to do things. Yeah. I got stuff to do, man. So that's it for today. But you know what? Before we go, we mentioned this in our last podcast, but we're going to mention it here again. We are working on some new artwork for the podcast. We're working to take the podcast sort of to the next level. And you know, one thing we didn't mention last time is we would love to hear from you. If you have suggestions or ideas or thoughts about what we can do to make this podcast better and to get you more of the information that you're really looking for, you know, let us know. Write to us. You know, there's lots of ways to get in touch with us, whether it's through YouTube
or... send me a tweet.
Not yet, but he's working on it.
You know what Trump said about tweets?
What?
He said it's like having your own newspaper without the losses.
Oh, see? That's true.
You know, I hadn't thought about it that way, but it does. It gives you this platform that you can publish whatever you want every day and anytime you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're working on new artwork. We're working on new music, lots of things like that. Mm-hmm. We are working to open publish. I don't know what the right word is. I'm lost
in
on
what?
The word. A new Patreon page, Patreon, patreon.com page so that you can support us just because, you know, doing these podcasts and some of the other things that we want to do require a lot of time, a lot of
mainly
resources.
They require time.
Yeah. And so we're, you know, hoping to get a little bit of support from those of you who listen and who find some of the things that we have to offer valuable, so that we can bring in somebody part-time, maybe even to kind of work on some of this stuff, to do editing and to do some of the research and things that we, that we're doing right now, in the wee hours of the morning and over the course of every weekend, just about. So, so keep an eye out for that. We will be posting information about all of that very soon, hopefully within the next week or so. And hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, look for changes over the next 2 months. I think the next 2 months we're going to be making some of these changes, what I like to think of as improvements.
Yeah, I think they're important.
I think it's going to bring another level of professionalism.
Right.
And I think it's for everybody's enjoyment.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to us on iTunes, we would be honored if you would write a review or just rate us on iTunes. That whole system makes no sense to me.
It's an odd system, now that I understand it a little bit
better. Yeah.
Write to us on iTunes. Go to iTunes and...
write a review.
Write a review, make a comment, ask a question, any way you can communicate via iTunes. And we want to, we have very specific reasons for asking you to do that.
Yeah.
And we'll explain it as we go along. It's nothing that you need to worry about. It's something for us, but please, when you get on iTunes, go ahead and make a comment or rating.
Because there are people, there are podcasts. Higher in the list than us that haven't posted a podcast in like 7 years.
7 years. That's right.
I don't understand.
And they're listed higher. Their podcast comes up far sooner than our much.
Yeah, if you go to iTunes and type in mental health,
right?
You know, it'll be like the fourth or fifth one listed. So it's right there on the front screen.
That's right.
You'd have to scroll way down to find us, and they haven't posted anything in seven years. So we're thinking, from what we understand, the algorithm suggests that with more reviews and more comments and things like that, we will kind of
The only way that iTunes knows that someone's listening or watching is by the comments, apparently.
Or the downloads. Right. But to raise in the ranks, you have to have that engagement.
There has to be some interaction.
Right. That's what we understand. It's a complicated system.
It's their algorithm, and we really don't know. But we think that's what we need. So please take a few minutes and make a comment.
That'd be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Students, my children, family, friends and family. This is the friends and family plan.
That's right.
So let's see what happens.
Yeah, there's a link in the show notes to the iTunes page. So just jump on there.
We want to get this up higher so that more people are listening and reacting.
Yeah.
It helps us.
Absolutely. So until next time. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.